Hello and welcome. Today's show was actually suggested by one of my students who was thinking about setting up his own podcast, and he asked me what it was like to be a podcaster. And it made me start to think. We did a podcast some while back when I interviewed my lovely editor, Daniel Fox, who talked about what it was like being an editor of the podcast. And he talked about the technical side in a podcast that we entitled Edit, 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 which will give you an idea of what he was trying to get across. But actually being my side of the desk is totally different to that. So if you want to jump on the podcasting bandwagon, and there are an awful lot of podcasts around now, here are some of the things that you might like to think about when you're setting that up. So first of all, you need to actually work out if there's an audience for your podcast. What is your podcast going to be about? It's very easy to get into the idea that you want to be everything to everybody. Well, I do a marketing podcast. Funnily enough, I don't think people that aren't interested in marketing are going to listen to me. Clearly, I've immediately started to narrow down the type of audience that I'm going to aim for. If you're sitting with a blank piece of paper, who is your audience? Who is your target audience? What's your theme of your podcast going to be about? Having thought of that, you then want to think about the tone of your podcast and your personality. So here are a couple of examples of very contrasting styles of podcast.
We've been holding our breath since May, impatiently waiting for Justice Staines' decision, trying to fill the wagatha-sized gap with Love Island drama and parliamentary gossip. But the moment has finally arrived. The High Court has made its final judgment. I'm Abby Clark, and this is It's Wagatha Christie, The Verdict, on Radio 5 Live and BBC Sounds. I'm not going to lie, guys, I'm in the middle of the busiest day. But Wagatha waits for no woman, and I have pulled out all the stops for this long-awaited moment, the verdict. I've assembled an elite team of past Wagatha Christie experts to take us through Judge Staines' decision and what it could mean for Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy. Think Ocean's 11, but Abby's 3. And rather than a heist, it's courtroom analysis. Okay, yeah, it's nothing like Ocean's 11, but it will be just as gripping.
So there you had a sort of high-octane, very energetic, very youthful-sounding podcast. And here is a different one.
Hello, and welcome to Your Dead to Me, the Radio 4 comedy podcast that takes history seriously. My name is Greg Jenner. I'm a public historian, author, broadcaster, and former nerd on the BBC comedy show Horrible Histories. And today we are travelling back nearly 1,000 years to 11th century Western Europe to dive into the rich tapestry of tapestries. The Bayeux tapestry, to be exact, except it's not a tapestry. I'll explain later.
Much, much more authoritative. So you need to think about, are you going to go down the high octane? Perhaps you want to be a sort of very colloquial sounding podcast. Perhaps it's going to be a little bit sweary. Perhaps you want to do the calm and authoritative. Think about the personality and the tone of the presenter that you are choosing. And if that's you, you're going to have to do some self-analysis. What is it you are able to deliver as a podcaster, as well as what is your audience going to be looking for or listening for? Don't try to do a high octane, youthful, sweary, colloquial style of podcast if that isn't your natural style. Then you need to start thinking about things like, is it going to be a very structured podcast? Are you going to go for a podcast that splits perhaps in 3 parts? So you have an interview, a middle section, and another interview. We've played around with that format in the past, where we've had an interview and then a section in the middle that perhaps looked at a piece of marketing jargon or analysed a marketing model, and then another interview at the end. It's very structured. It therefore slightly more time constrains you. You've got to think about the fact that you've got to have 2 guests, or you're going to have 1 guest and you're going to split the interview. It's another way of doing it. But you've got to have the content to do that. We'll come on to content in a minute. Or are you going to go for one of those sort of free-flowing podcasts where somebody just sits and talks and basically just does a free flow into the microphone? much, much harder to do than perhaps you think it is. Oh, I've got a microphone in front of me. I'll just start chatting. Actually, it takes time. It takes planning. It takes forethought. So do not assume just because you've chosen to go down a free-flowing, structured route, that a non-structured route, that actually it's going to be easier to put together. The other side you might like to think about as a podcaster is the fact that it's a very intimate medium. I'm recognised by people that phone the college by my voice if they've listened to the podcast. If you think about radio presenters, you know, we did a podcast recently on talking about radio and the power of radio. Listeners often feel that they know the presenters far better than they actually do, just because of the power of voice. Voice is incredibly intimate. That's why podcasts are so important. So you might want to think about the personal details that you give out online. Now, some podcasters, they are deliberately giving out personal details. They are there's fantastic podcasts of people talking about their personal journeys, whether that be a medical personal journey, perhaps a cancer sufferer. They are can be incredibly powerful. As the podcaster, you have to be aware that you are putting out your personal details into that public space. So you might want to think about what you are comfortable with personal strangers knowing about you, and possibly more importantly, thinking that they know about you. I'm very careful about what I give out when I am speaking on air, and I think a lot of presenters and podcasters will tell you the same. I also got asked, what's it actually like doing podcasting? And my answer was, it's fun, hard work and fun, probably in that order and that proportion. There is a lot of hard work to doing a podcast. So let's talk about that side of it from a podcaster's point of view. For a start, you need to put a schedule together. And I watch a lot of people saying they're going to do podcasts. It's like we all wake up and think, oh, we're going to do lots of blog writing. I'm going to write a blog every week. And you see them, you know, start for the first 3 weeks and then it sort of falls off a cliff as you hit the difficult bit. You do have to put a schedule together. You do have to have an idea of what's coming up. I would recommend that you decide if you're going to be a weekly or a bi-weekly or a monthly podcast, and put sort of the first eight of those together, so you've got a rough schedule and a rough idea. You do need to find guests. If you are going to interview people, you need people to come, you need victims, you need people to come on board and actually be interviewed. I have to say, most guests that I've approached have been very flattered to be asked. I'm always flattered when I'm asked to be on somebody else's podcast. Most people will say yes. However, you will get to times when a guest drops out for perfectly good reasons. And suddenly you're going, oh, okay, I need to have something else in place. If you are podcasting to a regular schedule, you need to have things up your sleeve that you can use. So if you're putting out your eight shows, you might want to have 10 interviews, for example, ready. You've got to decide the difference between a live podcast or a recorded podcast. I've done both, and I have to say, live has its charms. It's over, it's done with, there's nothing else you can do about it, it's gone. But you also have to be very, very careful about what you say and how you say it and what you do. If you are pre-recording it, it's often easier to get a guest to agree. They're often much more comfortable with the idea that their ums and ahs will be taken out, or if they do misspeak or start a sentence and then wish they started it in a different place, that you can stop and edit all that out magically. But obviously it's a lot more work on the editing front. Now, we did our previous podcast, as I said, on edit, edit, edit. I think that's the most important part of podcasting. It's the part that I always say is where the magic happens. But you need, in that case, to not only give yourself time to put the schedule together, do the podcasting, but also have time to edit and do editing to a good standard. When you have guests on board, you need to think about how you are going to put them at their ease. Very few people are immediately comfortable with a microphone stuck in front of them. And those that are tend to be professionals, and even professionals will tell you that they can get nervous, or they can lose their words or wonder what to say next. So are you going to have your guest in front of you where you can look at them and they can see you there? Or are you going to do it over a web link? This podcast is done over a web link, but I have in the past had guests in front of me in a studio. And there are pros and cons. The lovely part about having a guest in front of you is that when they say something, you can give hand signals, or you can smile at them, you can do the thumbs up, you can suggest to them that the podcast is starting to come, the recording time is starting to come to an end, so they might like to start wrapping up. You can nod along to them so that they feel that they're getting some feedback, so they know that they're saying the right thing. Everybody worries when they're talking on a podcast about whether they're making sense. It's the question that we all have. Does that make sense? I get asked that quite often as a guest finishes an answer. So there are huge advantages to having the guest in front of you and having that interaction. It also gives you a chance to talk to them beforehand. It gives them a chance to do an audio setup with you there. Obviously, the downside of that is you need a studio to go to, and you've got to ask the guest to travel. Again, I have to say that I very rarely, when I was doing live face-to-face podcasting, did I actually have guests that struggled with that, but obviously you needed to schedule in around their time. So what most podcasts seem to now have moved to is to using a web link. We use IBDTL, there are others. That has the huge advantage that you can have guests from around the world, which is wonderful, and opens up whole vistas of subject matter and guests and things that you can talk about. But the real downside, of course, is that the guest can't see you. You are connecting purely by voice. So putting a guest at their ease is much harder. Apart from anything else, you're relying on them to do the technical setup. And where that hasn't worked for whatever reason, the bit of the Wi-Fi connection isn't working very well, the computer plays up, it decides to do an update in the middle of something, the headphones don't work properly, you're relying on an editor or yourself to talk your guest through what they need to do technically. And that can very much put them on edge. You have to get skilled as a podcaster at putting people at their ease very quickly. One of the first things that I do when I set up a meeting is obviously we agree the sort of flow, the subject area that we're going to be talking about, because I'm usually inviting somebody on board to come and talk about, say, the construction industry. We will then agree a flow to the questions. I won't ever commit to sticking to that flow, because the way this podcast works is it's a conversation and the conversation can go in different directions. If I was doing a slightly different podcast, perhaps that I needed to get certain technical details across, we might be much more rigid in agreeing the flow of questions up front. What I do always do is put the guest at ease by telling them what the first question will be. That allows them to prep from that. It gives them a springboard to work off from. And I do find that since I introduced that, that made a huge difference to the how comfortable guests were in immediately starting to talk. Finally, you might want to start thinking about the formats that you can use. It doesn't have to be just people talking. You can drop in clips as we did earlier. But do check the copyright. You'll want to think about the length of podcasting. When I started podcasting, it was actually the 13th of February 2014. And it was a radio show and we went out on air. Then you have constraints of time. It had to be exactly 28 minutes. That was the length we had, and you can't finish early or finish late. That was what you have to go for. Podcasting can be a little bit more freewheeling. People aren't usually timing you by the clock that you need to have finished at exactly whatever length of podcast you've chosen to do. You do need to think about length. Podcasts in a way should be as long as they need to be, but be careful of just waffling on into the void just because you can. In the edit, you will need to take out the waffle and tighten it up. I've actually had people that have complained that my podcasts aren't long enough because it's not long enough for them to do their morning run to. Sorry about that. I personally feel 20 minutes to half an hour is long enough for any podcast, but there are some brilliant podcasters out there that do much longer podcasts and much shorter podcasts and have a, an audience, because that's the format that they've set. Get used to the idea that the audience get used to a sort of format. So although it's nice to make changes, it's nice to have one where it's just one person talking as opposed to another one where you might have one guest or a discussion going, don't make it too different each time. It confuses the audience. The audience gets an expectation of the length of podcast, what to expect from the podcast, the sort of subjects that you are going to cover. If you suddenly go completely left field, unless you can explain why, the audience can feel a little bit wrong-footed and a little bit cheated, perhaps. And frankly, there's enough confusion in the world without podcasters adding to it. Finally, something you may want to think about is avoiding dating your podcasts. The difference between a radio show is it goes out a particular time and a particular day and date. A podcast lives on. So do avoid dating your podcast. If you start referring to things that are happening at that time, you will immediately anchor your podcast in a particular time and it will come across as dated. So you say things like hello and welcome. You don't say good morning, good afternoon. Apart from anything else, you don't know whether it's good morning or good afternoon for where your audience is. They could be listening to you in the middle of the night. They could be the other side of the world. That's the joy of podcasting. So avoid anything like that. Avoid referring to things in the news that have happened unless you want to have a podcast that is specifically up to date. So the Wagatha Christie podcast that we quoted earlier clearly is meant to be grounded in a particular date. For the marketing show, we've actually got two podcasts. We do one on the Tuesday, which is meant to be of the minute, something that's caught our eye that day or the previous day. And the main podcast, which is meant to be more timeless. That is the intention of the two. So again, it's something to think about, not dating your podcast in any way. So I hope that's been helpful. If you are thinking of doing a podcast, think about some of the things that we've discussed, the formatting, the tone, the personality of the presenter. Do you have the time, or does somebody else have the time, or do you need to employ somebody with the time to actually set up the schedules, to get the guests on board, to do all the admin side that comes with a podcast? Think about the personal details that you want the presenter to give out on air and the personality and tone of the podcast and also the presenter. Play with the format. Remember that it is a lot of fun. And finally, the bit that we haven't covered, which is the marketing of your podcast. You can produce the world's most wonderful podcast, but if you're not out there talking about it and saying how great it is and reminding people of it, and just saying that you've got a great guest coming up or you've just had a great guest on, one, it makes your guests want to come on the podcast, and two, it means that you widen the audience to people that are interested in the subject areas that you want to talk about. I hope that was helpful. Next week, we're back with a guest, and I'm looking forward to interviewing David Sales. Catch you then.